It looked so pretty, and it just was so still. I just felt the Lord's presence. But my sermon is called, Blessed Are Those That Mourn, For They Shall Be Comforted, the Bible says. And that's what I actually named my sermon. And, you know, I was just thinking, the Lord gave me this message like a couple weeks ago, and it just came out of nowhere. And I just started praying for a door to open so I could preach. And this door opened. And then I was like, Lord, if you want me to go another way with this, let me know. And he just kept on feeding me. So I wrote this sermon. But, you know, I was grieved over my cousin, Jasmine. You know, Lord put her on my heart. And I texted her. And she told me she's just real busy. And, you know, and she's going to be at church on Sunday and all this. And I'm like, I just wanted to text you because the Lord really put you on my heart, you know. And I was telling everybody that she's fine. She's flying high. She's, you know, she's just busy. And Christians go through that, you know. They got to miss church because of jobs and all types of other things. That stuff happens. She's fine, you know. And then she was at prayer Tuesday night. And then Wednesday, I get the news that she's gone. And it was like, oh, like I was gutted, you know? It was like, oh, so grieved just over that. And it took me a while to get over it, but I had to have that time of just grieving, you know? I remember that when I was my first fiance, when I was driving down the interstate, and she was supposed to meet us for marriage counseling, and she was nowhere to be found. And Jake called me. I remember where I was on the interstate, and he told me, Nora's Facebook status says she's single. Oh, I just remember that, just, oh, that feeling. I got that same feeling when Jasmine, it was like a spiritual death happened that day. You know, a testimony for the Lord was gone that day, and it's just like, but the Lord will be glorified. But it's like that testimony when she goes to my family, that's gone. You know, all that's just the glory of the Lord. And I was grieved. And so let's just pray. Lord God, we just pray that you would anoint me to just preach this, Lord, the ear to hear, Lord God, and just show us what you're saying today to the church, Lord God, this church specifically, Lord God. Just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Bible expresses Christ and men of God throughout the Bible through mourning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. I believe the Lord really put something on my heart that I'm going to really, really hammer down today. I believe the Lord wants to hammer something down today. Matthew 5, verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, it says. They shall be comforted. Luke 6, verse 21 says, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Praise God. And then the Bible also says other things about mourning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And then verse 4 says, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. So mourning, there's a set time for mourning, and it's a purpose under the heaven. It's a purpose under the heaven, and it's a set time appointed to mourn. Mourning is not just a necessary thing for the Christian, but mourning sets us apart, makes us a blessed people. Blessed are those that mourn. Now we can go into Hannah's life. And I want to read. I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. And Lord, help me with verse 1. I've been trying to read it all morning. I'm probably going to butcher it, but the Lord can help me. Now, there was a certain man, a Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penina, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did, so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah, this is what Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belilah, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. And her countenance was no more sad. I believe when David mourned, after it was all said and done, he ate also. That's just a sign that it's that time is over. That time is over. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Amen. I want to pick this apart here. Hannah was barren. She had an adversary and was provoked sore to make her fret. Think about that. The devil is our adversary. Let it be our testimony that when the devil provokes us to make us fret, that we go before the Lord. Amen? Like Hannah did. Hannah didn't fight back. Hannah went and took her petition before the Lord. Praise God for that. Praise God. Hannah was also loved by her husband, received worthy portion. Elkanah was better to her than 10 sons. Church, don't let your blessings get in the way of what the Spirit's trying to do in your life. Amen. I mean, I was just talking to Porsche the other day, and we were talking about how if we probably filed everything we had, we might be considered poverty, but we're rich. You know, we're rich. We eat every day. We have clean water. We have roofs over our head, heat, all these things. You know, Glenn Denon said he lives like a king. You know, praise God. But don't let that, she could have said, why am I weeping when I am treated better than 10 sons? Who cares with what your other wife thinks? You love me. Elkanah, you treat me better than 10 sons. Why am I even being provoked by this woman? Why is what she's saying causing me to fret when I have all these things? You gave me a worthy portion. You just gave them what you had to do according to the law. But me, you treated as worthy. Praise God. I'm going to be content. I'm going to settle down with that. And I'm going to praise God for that. Why am I weeping and moaning about these things? Let me tell you something, church. That didn't satisfy Hannah's inner spirit. All those great things didn't satisfy. She wanted something more. Hannah was hungering and thirsting for righteousness. The barren woman wanted a son. So in bitterness of soul and affliction and weeping sore, she mourned for a son. She mourned for that son. She mourned to the point Eli the priest believed her to be drunken. It brings a scripture to my heart, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself making it intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. What did the scripture say? Only her lips were moving. She wasn't speaking. Only her lips were moving. She was groaning things that could not be uttered. She heaven was interceding for her. She was allowing heaven to intercede. Amen. Let me tell you, the Lord comforted her. The Lord comforted her. She mourned and she was comforted. And she bore Samuel. Samuel served the Lord from the time he was weaned of his mother. Amen. And when she was mourning, you got to remember, she made a promise to the Lord. And when the Lord delivered her son, she kept that promise. And she gave up her first son to the temple after he was weaned. So often I think we can pray and we can say, Lord, we'll do this if only you would do this. And then we so often forget. When our healing comes, when our financial thing comes, we just move on to the next thing. I think of the 10 lepers that were healed. Lord, heal us, heal us. And the Lord healed them, and they just moved on into their business as healed people now. Going back to the priest, and that one remembered and came back to the Lord and worshiped the Lord. And what did Jesus say? Where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? I believe that's so important that she kept that promise to the Lord and she gave up that first son of hers to serve the Lord and to be raised by the high priest, not even to be raised by his own mother. You know, Samuel went on to anoint the first king of Israel, Saul, and King David, of which Jesus was given his throne. Luke 1:32. It says, "He shall be great," speaking of Jesus, "and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." First Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." Hallelujah. You know, I have down here, "The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." But a lot of times we need to get to that place where the peace and the joy aren't there. It's just that righteous place, that sorrowful spirit, that time of mourning, that righteous mourn that brings forth that peace and that joy. It'll deliver you to that peace and that joy, as we see here in Hannah's life. Praise God. Luke 17:21. "Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." That was what was deep down in Hannah's heart, was that prayer, that desire. And then the enemy came and provoked her. The enemy came and provoked her, and you know what? He made it worse for himself. Let that be the testimony of the Church of Wisconsin. When the enemy comes in like a flood, what does it say? The Lord raises a standard. Let the enemy make it worse for himself. Every time he makes us to fret, every time he provokes us, let him make it worse for himself. Praise God. Praise God. Something reached deep into Hannah's spirit. She was sensitive to the Spirit. This was intercession of the Holy Ghost. Nothing was going to satisfy. Being loved by her husband, being treated better than 10 sons, worthy portions. No, she was going to have a sorrowful spirit before the Lord. And out of that sorrow, the kingdom of heaven moved forward. We are taught to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Praise God. The kingdom of heaven moved forward through that a woman that mourned that morning. And two books in the Bible were named after her son. Praise God. Praise God. Now we're going to go in a little different direction here. We're going to go into the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was another man that mourned. But he had different results. Amen? He had different results. Jeremiah chapter 14. Just to kind of touch up, I'm going to read some verses in 1 through 18. You desire, read it when you get home. It's powerful stuff. Jeremiah 14:1, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. "Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languisheth. They are black under the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up." So there's a cry going up to the Lord here. "And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads, because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Think about this picture in America. Think about having no water. Sending your son to the wells and there's nothing there. Everybody's crying out to the Lord. They want to hear something from God. They need something. They need water. You need water to survive. And it says in verse 10, thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. After all this, this is what the Lord's saying. And then, verses, Jeremiah prays in this chapter a couple times, but I'm going to really focus on verses 19 through 22. Jeremiah prays a morn, and he says, hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We look for peace, and there is no good. And for the time of healing, and behold, trouble. We're looking for these things. We're seeking these things out, and we're not getting them. In return, we're getting trouble as we're seeking for healing. We're just not getting them, Lord. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness. We're coming before you and we acknowledge what we did is wrong. And the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against you. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy day, of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. He brought up the covenant. He brought up God's glory. He brought up God's name. He's doing everything he can here. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? He's even bringing, man cannot bring us water. We need you. We need you. Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. So he's proclaiming his greatness. He's proclaiming, it's really good prayer. It's a really good prayer of repentance. It's a lot of times the Lord hears this and he moves on these prayers throughout the Bible. Now I'm going to read Jeremiah 15, 1 through 4. And it says, then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them. This is what he tells Jeremiah to tell them. Thus saith the Lord, such as for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity. And I will point over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. It's obvious. Jeremiah's prayer request wasn't going to be delivered by the Lord. The Lord's saying, no. As a matter of fact, I'm going to kill him. I'm gonna appoint the dog to slay him. I'm gonna appoint captivity over him. I'm gonna make it worse. But you know what? I believe that Jeremiah was so comforted when he heard that. Because he wasn't alone. The Lord's answer was very sobering, but very comforting. The Lord said, you're not alone. If even Moses and Samuel were pleading for these people, I wouldn't help them. You know how comforted that must have made him feel, that even if these great men of God were here with me praying, God would still say no. It doesn't say, blessed are those that mourn, for I will give them the request of their heart. It says, they shall be comforted. You know how comforting it must have been? He knew his prayer was a righteous desire. He knew his prayer was a righteous desire. But God in his righteous judgment said no. Again, the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, if I was praying a prayer like that, and the Lord came to me and said, you know what? Even if the great men that preached to you and spoke into your lives and did all this, if they were here, I still would say no. If it was all three of you fasting and praying that the Lord would have mercy on America, I still would say no. You know how much comfort that would bring to my heart? It makes me think of 1 Peter 3, verse 9. I think it's 2 Peter 3, verse 9. I'm sorry. The Lord is not slack concerning this promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That prayer makes me think of this, because what is he longing for? The repentance of Israel, the restoring of Jerusalem. That's what his longing is for. I have down here, keep praying for your friend, son, cousin, loved one, whoever they are. It's a righteous desire that they come to repentance. It's a righteous desire of your heart that your son makes it right with God. Jeremiah wasn't going to stop praying. He was going to hear from the Lord before he stopped. Until the Lord says, enough. Keep praying for that. God gave you that desire. I think of David when he wanted to build a house for the Lord. God gave him that desire, but he still had to say no to him because he was a man of bloody hands. He still had to say no to him, but he gave. That was a righteous desire of David's heart. Very sobering, though, of church. People will go to hell. Romans 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Hell is a righteous judgment of God. And people will suffer it. God, in his righteousness, will do what's just and right. And people's eternity in the lake of fire will bring the Lord of hosts glory. God will be glorified. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise him for that. Praise him for that. He's a good God. I have examples in here. Hannah prayed for a son. Request was delivered. Jesus wept because he desired to gather Jerusalem as a chick gathereth her hens. That didn't happen. But Jesus wept over it. He wanted it to happen. God gave him that desire. David mourned that the Lord would spare his son, that his son wouldn't die. He didn't eat. He wouldn't eat. He refused to eat. He stayed before the Lord. And guess what? His son died. But that was a righteous desire. It's like the way we desire abortion would just end. We just wish, keep praying for that. Even if it's not just going to happen. Even if the Lord has it in the heart of other people. When Jesus was being born, the people came to kill all those children. But keep praying that abortion would end. Don't stop. Even if the Lord has other plans, that desire is a righteous desire of your heart. Jeremiah prayed for God to have mercy on his people. Request was not delivered. Nehemiah wept over Jerusalem. The Lord gave him favor in the sight of the king. Delivered his prayer request. Delivered unto his prayer request. The list goes on and on. I mean, read the book of Jeremiah. The list goes on and on. The Lord doesn't say the mourners will receive their prayer request. It says they will be comforted. And being comforted by the Lord of hosts is of more value than anything this world could offer. Praise God. Praise God. Luke, verse 22, 42 through 44. Saying, you know what, I'm going to read 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven. Next verse, strengthening him. Jesus was mourning in the garden, and the Lord sent him an angel to strengthen him. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He prayed a prayer that wasn't delivered. Well, he said, not my will, but thine. So his prayer was delivered. I correct myself on that. But he didn't want to go through it. He didn't want the wrath of God poured out on him for me and you. David said, thy judgments cause me to tremble. Imagine Jesus going before his own father. And God's about to pour your sin and my sin upon his head. No wonder he prayed that. And no wonder the Lord knew an angel was necessary to strengthen God himself in the flesh. In 44, it says it gets better. No, it gets worse. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Amen. Amen. I'm going to close in this, church. No matter what you're mourning over, be comforted in this. The Lord of all will do what's just and right. Psalm 30, 11. And 12. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. You had to mourn to turn it into dancing. There had to be, you can't just dance. There had to be, the morning had to be there, and it was turned into dancing. Praise God. Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And a lot of time that righteousness, church, is that morning. Is that time of mourning before the Lord for whatever the Lord is putting deep down in your spirit. Amen. And when that enemy comes to say I have children and you don't, or whatever the cost is, you know, to make you fret. That enemy, he can make us fret, amen. Let's take that before the Lord. Amen. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord God. And we just pray, Lord, that you would be glorified this morning, God. And Lord, that you spoke to people's hearts this morning and dealt with things, Lord, in my own heart and all hearts, Lord God. And just, Lord, just make us a people that are right. In Jesus' name, amen.